Welcome to After Hours with me, Rick Hogan. That initial noise on there, I'm going, what kind of scratching noise is that? That was simply applause for Judy Garland. I'm playing some selections from her famous concert at Carnegie Hall. I have in the studio Ann Jonzos, who will be on at 9:30 to talk about her what I think is a fascinating book, Potty Mouth, Big Thoughts from Little Mons Minute. Seemed like a deep title, but it's a very interesting book on a lot of levels. And Ann is sitting in here because she is a journalist. And we're on the phone with another journalist, a woman named Michelle Carter, who has written what I think is a fascinating, somewhat funny, but to my mind, welcome to the show, too, Michelle. How are you?
I'm great, thank you.
It makes me angry, your book, a little, in that you went to Russia, and we'll get in deeply into it. You went to Russia at a time when there seemed a lot of hope in Russia for freedom of the press. And, you know, you just look at the state of affairs now and it breaks my heart. It is a long way, Michelle Carter, from San Mateo, where you were a writer and an editor, to Moscow. How did you make that leap?
Well, it wasn't as though I just one day up and decided that
exactly,
I was going to
right.
go spend a year in Russia.
Very few people do that.
Yes. Well, I had been traveling and writing about Russia since for about 8 years before I got the invitation to spend a year as journalist in residence for the United States Information Service, or Information Agency, as it was called then.
Mm-hmm.
My brief was simple. I was supposed to. My intention was to be a midwife for the for a free press in Russia. I was supposed to work with newspaper editors across the 11 time zones of this massive country. I visited more than 30 cities in that year. So it was. You mentioned that it made you angry. You have no idea how angry it makes me.
Oh, I cannot even imagine. Yeah, there must have been. Take me back a little. You had written a book before you went
right.
to Russia called Children of Chernobyl, Raising Hope from the Ashes in 1993. How did you get involved with that project?
It started with an exchange between a church group here and the Soviet Peace Committee in 1988. So we're still in the Soviet period.
Sure.
I went in 1988, went again in 1990. And in 1990, the wheels were coming off the Soviet Union. There were protesters in the streets. And as a journalist, it was pretty cool.
No question.
I was, interviewing and so forth. So they wanted to get us out of there. And so they sent us to Minsk, the backwater capital of Belarus. And it was there I met the doctor who has dedicated her life to treating the children who were affected by the explosion and meltdown.
So funny, Minsk, the ancestral home of my father's side of the family. That's where both my grandfather and grandmother emigrated to the United States from that charming, I'll call it a charming city. Your career in journalism was a very, very, very solid one. I would have had you, if were I in charge of the United States Information Agency, to send you over to try to nurture Russian journalists. That was indeed your mission, was it not, to try to infuse them with a sense of freedom of the press? True?
Well, you have to understand first that we were giddy during that period.
Well, I'll bet.
We absolutely believed that that this, of course, was the turning point. The Cold War was over. We were going to go forward. My task was to share this enthusiasm for a free press, an open press, a non-subsidized press. to tell them how you get information from authorities that don't want you to have it. How do you write a story that people want to read? How do you create pages that build circulation? How do you sell advertising?
Wow,
which is pretty sure. Basic stuff.
But, in dealing with the editors with whom you dealt and the papers with whom you dealt, it almost would be like teaching someone who has been bedridden for their entire lives to start walking, in essence. Now, I'm not trying to romanticize it. Your book, though, you're from
no,
under.
But you're,
is that part of it? I mean, they must have not had basically clueless. I mean, it's sort of starting to walk, yes?
Well, it certainly was in practice. In theory, they knew, these were professional journalists in the sense that they had studied journalism. They knew how it worked in the rest of the world, but they had never practiced it in that fashion.
Where did most of it, to generalize, and much of the information is In your charming and incisive book, and there is, somehow you found some humor in your time in Russia too. Yeah, I know, but From Under the Russian Snow is just a fascinating read. It's unlike any book you will read because Michelle Carter was at the center of a fascinating kind of experiment. Did what frame of reference these people were? Did they study journalism outside of Russia?
Some did. The people that I worked with were bringing Russian journalists to seminars and so forth in Western Europe. These people they were exposed to it. I wasn't speaking a foreign language. We often joke that there's English, there's Russian, and then there's journalism. And
that's absolutely true. That's not a joke. I get it. Yeah.
But they had been exposed to it. They just needed to learn how to practice it.
Yeah.
And that was my role. Very practical. I didn't come to give the "you people should" speech. Mine was here are some techniques that work for us. They may work for you. I was a cross pollinator. I went to Khabarovsk and Novosibirsk in Siberia, and they told me things that worked for them, and I carried them to the Urals and to Astrakhan. This is a huge, huge country, and so cross pollination was my my best gift, I think.
Michelle Carter, you sound like a fascinating person. I sense that in reading your book, From Under the Russian Snow, and I'm getting a punctuation for those feelings by just talking to you. We have to take a little commercial break, and then we'll continue on for the rest of this half hour. Again, Michelle Carter's book is titled From Under the Russian Snow. It is about her a little more than a year-long intellectual and practical adventure in trying to make a free press out of that repressed country. We'll be right back. Welcome back. We are talking on the telephone from California with Michelle Carter, the author of a riveting memoir titled From Under the Russian Snow, which details a year that she spent in 1995 in Russia trying to instill in various newspapers and newspaper editors the notion of freedom of the press as it had never existed in that country and exists here less and less. Now we're in Michelle, you and I could probably spend 8 hours talking about what's happening in the United States and the whole notion of fake news and the whole Russian probe, but we'll not do that. What prompted you? I know that in many ways this was a difficult book to write because it also deals with the death of your husband of 28 years while you were away, which is certainly a life-shattering and life-altering. But you did some writing for the San Mateo paper while you were on this excursion in Russia, and you continued as a journalist. What was the catalyst that brought you the courage to sit down and say, you know what, I'm going to detail that year in my life because it did change my life. What was there a catalyst for that?
There was. There was one specific moment on Thanksgiving 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
We're sitting at the holiday table, and my daughter says out of the blue, you know, I never understood why you went back after Dad died.
Wow.
And then my son chimes in and says, well, I didn't either. And it occurred to me that I had not done a very good job of explaining to my kids why I was 10,000 miles away when their dad died.
Yeah.
And it, so this book, which I started writing in January after the holidays that very same year, I just wrote for 6 months solid, is my letter to my kids. It's explaining what I was doing on this personal adventure when their dad died.
Yeah, I think that that is the thing that elevates this into, you do call it a memoir. It is filled with, I think, first-rate reportage of what you did over there, but it is also intensely personal. And that is, as you know, I'm a newspaper man too, that is territory we journalists don't often get into. And I think you pulled it off remarkably in From Under the Russian Snow. I have to assume, just hearing you on the telephone and having read you and just knowing what it's like to be a journalist, that you have done a lot of speaking engagements in support of this book. Is that, am I making the right assumption?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true. Probably more maybe than I
What do you mean more? That's how you sell books these days, Michelle. That's how you sell books. What has been the reception for the book? Because
it has been remarkable.
Yeah.
I first was ventured into the arena of marketing in tiptoeing all the way.
Sure.
And I feel as though I fell into an embrace. Everybody has been terrific. I've felt the reception has been amazing. I've had really good comments about from both levels, as a political reportage and also as a personal story. But the you know, writing a memoir, Mary Carr, the great memoirist,
writing a memoir is
like dancing down Broadway with no clothes on. Well, it's true.
It sure is. It sure is. That's the one thing that's kept me away from even attempting anything close to memoir. The book, in many ways, had to be kind of personally and emotionally empowering for you. What did your son and daughter think of this? Did it answer those Thanksgiving evening questions for them?
They both were participants in the producing this. My daughter is a short story writer, published in many, many, many places. She was the best editor I ever had. She saw every piece of it as I was writing, and you know, it was a Word document. She tracked changes, and I'd be reading her comments, and it would, you know, all of a sudden there's one that says, "This is crap," and then I knew that I had work to do.
Spoken like the true child of a journalist, in the old-fashioned newsrooms that we probably grew up in, Michelle. What was it that drew you to journalism in the first place?
Oh, I'm a nosy person.
Yeah.
I dearly love the opportunity to ask questions and have people answer them. I've never found a lid I didn't want to lift up or a door I didn't want to walk through. So this is perfect. It's the perfect job for me.
You must have the many people you encounter, the journalists you encountered in your time in Russia, and as captured in From Under the Russian Snow. You obviously kept in touch with many of those people. And also share their disappointment in what happened to the shackles that were eventually placed on what should have been journalistic freedom there. How painful was that for you?
It's still going on.
Yeah.
I'm in constant contact with a number of the people that I worked with. Also on Facebook, I've reconnected with many people that that I worked with. It's one reason why I never changed my email address.
Sure.
Because out of the blue, I hear from them. But it is painful. It is sad. And it's Facebook has very much become my lens into the politics in Russia. But I'm going back in May as part of the book tour, returning to Moscow and St. Petersburg. And there's going to be a reunion in St. Petersburg of a number of the people that I worked with during that time. So
Are many of them
firsthand.
Will you do me a huge favor and keep in touch with me? Because I'd love to have you on the show after you return from that trip to see what that trip was like, to get your...
Absolutely.
It'd be fantastic for me, too. It'd be to have firsthand observations over there. Did most of the people you know and people you're in contact with, did they remain in journalism, or were they so beaten up that they've escaped to less savory professions?
Well, they certainly a number of people have emigrated. I mean, Russia rivals Afghanistan for the most dangerous place to practice journalism in the world.
Yep.
And but there are those who have done magnificent work and continue to do magnificent work. So we just have to celebrate them, and we have to lift them up and shine light on the good work that's still going on.
Well, and also,
and we can do that.
And also to appreciate the and I don't throw this word around lightly, the courage and heroism that it takes to do that very thing that we sometimes, Donald Trump or no Donald Trump, take for granted here.
It is the joke of fake news.
Yeah.
It reverberates in my head every time I read a post about somebody else, some newspaper office getting firebombed, death threats to other journalists. It's painful.
Michelle, I am so I am pleased beyond words to have read From Under the Russian Snow, and equally pleased to have talked to you tonight. And let's keep in touch, and I'd love to talk to you on the air when you return from your trip to Russia. It'll be a class reunion of a very interesting and unique class. So I would love to do that. You people can just look for From Under the Russian Snow. It's a fascinating and very personal, but also very insightful about a country we should know more about. Michelle, it's a pleasure to meet you.
Thank you.
And a pleasure to read you. And I'll talk to you in May.